Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and it is Thursday, July the 18th. And is there any reason why everybody doesn't just listen to me? I can tell you exactly what's going on and what's going to happen. Obviously, 3 weeks ago, I started saying Kamala Harris would probably be on top of the ticket. And here we are on July 18th, and Kamala Harris is going to be on top of the ticket. Right, Joe? Right. Okay, so no one's announced it yet. Okay, let's be fair on that. But it's over. Everybody knows it's over. And everybody behind the scenes is saying that it's over. And it's over. Yesterday, I commented on the fact that Adam Schiff, congressman now running for Senate in California, had called directly for Joe Biden to remove himself from the ballot. And he is about as close as you can get to Nancy Pelosi as anybody in the United States Congress. And he wouldn't have said it if Pelosi and others with her weren't ready to make the move. So the move's being made. And again, today, tons of conversation about people behind the scenes who are saying that it's over. And I assure you, 3 weeks after that debate, no one behind the scenes would be saying this if it weren't over. So I'll say it again. It's over for Joe Biden. Now, let me make this point about it, because I do want to say some important things about Joe Biden. First of all, he is a terrific president. Now, that's not anything new. I've been saying that all along, and I think it's number one, true, and number two, being repeated by people all over the country that have said this, and I'm talking about the top political people, have said this for weeks. Joe Biden did a sensational job as president of the United States. He did everything that he promised. He did everything that you could possibly ask for and more. He passed more bipartisan legislation than anybody in anyone's memory. He got the job done. He promoted legislation, he negotiated deals, and he got things passed. Sadly, one of his greatest accomplishments is sitting on the roadside right now because the Republicans kicked it out, and that's that the child care credit. For people who have children that want to go to work and they need somebody to watch their kids and they can't afford to pay $14, $15, $16, $1,700 per month. It's too much. And what if you have two kids? What if you have three kids? And if you have three kids, you're looking at $5,000 a month just to watch your kids. But Joe Biden took care of all of this in the early days of his presidency. It was all done. It all worked fine. And people, well, let me say, people were raised out of poverty as a result. Large numbers of people. It was effective. Well, the Republican Party couldn't go along with that one. That would actually help somebody. So they had to step up when they took power in the House and throw it out. And that's nothing compared to what they would like to do. But the good news is they'll never get close to any of it. As of last night, and maybe tonight, you can call the last two nights, this is the closest that Donald Trump will ever be to the presidency of the United States again in the rest of his life. After this, it's all going to get further and further and further away because, frankly, Kamala is going to be at the top of the ticket. And here's how it works out. And I promise you, I'm going to say this all the time. And when we get to the day of the election, it's going to be so obvious that there won't be a Republican that even wants to show their face anywhere because they'll be so dejected by that moment. Donald is not going to win anything. He couldn't even get elected to dog catcher by the time we get to November. Because here's what's going to happen. Women are going to vote for Kamala Harris. They were definitely going to vote for Joe Biden. So I assure you, they're going to vote for Kamala Harris. If they don't have Biden, they're certainly not going to walk away from Kamala. No, women will be with Kamala. Secondly, black people. Have you ever heard of black people? Do you know who black people are? Do you know what they are? Do you know that there are black people in the United States? There are 44 million black people in the United States. I understand if you're white, you don't want to hear any of this. You want to deport them. But they're not going to be deportable because it's going to be Kamala who is running the White House. You know, if you read Project 2025 and if you listen to the people at the Republican convention, they are saying that this is going to be the biggest deportation in the history of the United States. I'll tell you this. If Donald is lucky, they'll deport him. Because I can assure you that this guy is headed for jail. Not as retribution, but because he's a criminal. So, okay, let's go back. Kamala will get women. She will get black votes. I said it would be 5 to 8% of the black population that would vote Republican this year. Donald's been saying 25 to 30%. Now, I want you to watch what happens. When we get to November, I want you to listen to what I said and what he said. And you'll realize that anybody following him is wasting their time. And I don't want you to follow me. I just want you to understand, Donald's a sicko. Because if he thinks that black people are going to vote for him over Kamala Harris, well, I'll have to ask Joe to play the laughing box because it's ridiculous. It's just not going to happen. It's not remotely possible. Kamala Harris will get 95% of the black vote. It's that simple. Donald will be lucky if he gets 5. All of his talk, 25, 30% black people are voting for me because I'm willing to get them a job mowing lawns. That's all black people are worth. What are black people? Morons. But they could mow a lawn, according to Donald Trump. So, you know, Donald Trump would love to deport black people, deport Hispanics. Look, if his parents were alive, he'd deport them. This man is mentally ill, and he's got about one more day to think about being president of the United States. Because when Kamala gets the nod, the rest of this is over. And again, I just need to say this. Joe Biden is such a good person. Let's forget the presidency part. He was a very excellent president. Those 154 scholars that mark this every year, they called Donald Trump, once again, the worst president in American history. We understand that. And then they also said that Joe Biden is number 14. Not bad. That's pretty high up. And it's also warranted. And if it's 12 or if it's 16, it's somewhere in there that would be legitimate. He was a great president, but he was also a great person. And he's still a great person. And he needs to be honored by the Democratic Party, not just tossed out. When Kamala Harris becomes the presidential candidate, Joe Biden needs to be honored. The only thing that they need to be thinking about right now is how to honor him. He's 82 years old. He's struggling. He's an old person and he's got some problems. I always say, you know, the United States is a great place to be old if you're healthy. Donald's got health problems. I'm sorry. Joe Biden's got health problems. Donald also has health problems. But Joe Biden has health problems. So I'm so excited that I think I'm Joe Biden. But honestly, he's got some health problems. We see it every day. By the way, I'm dying. See, isn't that good? No, I'm okay. I'm just trying to figure out how to push the button on here to bring up that chat thing.
Oh, there's a little icon that says chat on the bottom right-hand column.
Bottom right-hand column. It says need help. See, I'm not as dumb as you thought.
Right there. Nobody's in it yet.
Oh, it's on the, okay, yeah, gotcha. Yeah. Thank you, Joe. Okay, so look, here's the deal. Joe's got problems. We know he does. But the other side of the coin is that he is such a good person. He's never been a pedophile. He's never done any crazy shenanigans with his son to get money from the Chinese. I mean, he hasn't done anything except for run this country in the most effective way imaginable, including the great things that he's done to strengthen NATO. You can't get past all of these things that he has done. In fact, it's exactly the opposite of what Donald did when he was president for 4 years, which, I mean, I've had so much trouble over the years even saying that Donald was president, because he may have been in the office, but what did he do? Well, you know, he tried to turn over documents to the Russians, and I shouldn't say tried. We know he did. We watched him do it. Foreign countries that knew about the documents that he turned over to the Russians to Lavrov, those foreign countries, they were shocked. They didn't know what to do because they realized that it could compromise the lives of their people who worked for them in order to provide intelligence to us. But Donald didn't care. He turned it all over, brought in the Russian newspaper people and media people, and what did they do? They all high-fived in the Oval Office and laughed at the fact that the United States was turning over its foreign intelligence documents to Russia. Go online. Put it in. Go to YouTube and put in Lavrov in the Oval Office with Russian journalists. Put it in. It'll pop right up for you. And the American journalists weren't even allowed to walk in. It was that secret. Oh, it was secret, okay, but not secret from the Russians. They got whatever they wanted. So then, of course, Donald brought all that nonsense home, whatever he had left, the nuclear secrets and the rest, ready to sell that off to the Russians. We end up with a trial at Mar-a-Lago, or at least what was supposed to be a trial. And lo and behold, Aileen Cannon stupidly threw out the case. And I say stupidly because, listen to this. Watch how dumb she is. What a dumb person. She told Donald Trump's lawyers, don't bring this up again, this throwing the case out. Wait until we're in front of the jury. Then bring it up and we'll see. And everybody at the time knew that what she was doing was giving a wink-wink to Donald and his people, explaining the double jeopardy would attach and the case would be over. So instead of just continuing to let this go on and on in a stupid way, but nevertheless, a way that she could get away with, I mean, she wouldn't have been attacked, suddenly she jumps up and says, case dismissed. I mean, what's wrong with these people? I guess she got excited by what she saw at the convention, and she thought if you're winning at the convention, that maybe you're the president. Or maybe she just thinks that because he's going to be the president, in her mind, that the game's over and she could just dismiss it and not worry about the consequences. But look what's going to happen. The 11th Circuit, which has already been given the appeal, is going to review the case, and they're going to rip her in every direction. They will eviscerate this latest decision, 98-page decision that she wrote, which every intelligent judicial scholar has said could have been written in 2 pages. Case dismissed. We haven't got a reason. But it doesn't matter because the 11th Circuit is going to take this appeal. They're going to rip her, which they've already done twice. Remember, this is not the first time on her deal. She's gotten herself into 2 other problems where Jack Smith asked for her case to be reversed, her decision. And they didn't just reverse her. They kicked her butt from here to the moon. Now, they're going to do it again because everybody in all the court cases has already said in the past that this special counsel deal under which they appointed Jack Smith is completely constitutional. So she's in trouble. And what's worse for them, the bad guys, is that there's no double jeopardy attached. And now Jack Smith just needs to decide, should he refile the case? Should he set up a new case? How should he create this next situation? And he wants to be careful, too, because if he does it again at Mar-a-Lago, you know, in that Southern District, if he does it again the same way, there's a 1 in 3 chance he could get himself the same person, Aileen Cannon, again. And then they'd be in court doing more crazy things. But there are a lot of ways that this could get resolved, and all of them positive for Jack Smith. Jack Smith has just gotten himself the deal of the century. All of this misery that he was faced with because of Aileen Cannon, it's over. She has done herself in. She just should have followed her own advice, not dismiss this thing until there was a jury in place. But she didn't even listen to herself. Like I say, I guess she just got excited by the convention. And in the meantime, this case is coming back. And Donald's going to be in trouble. You can't steal documents the way he did. Now, I realize he hasn't sold them to anybody yet, but we don't even know what deals have been made, and we may never know. That's true. But here's what we know. The guy tried to flood the basement, and he told his people to hide the boxes. But they couldn't hide them fast enough because the FBI came to see the boxes and take them. Now, of course, Donald says that Joe Biden was intending to have him killed, which, first of all, we know that's not true. And secondly, if Joe Biden wanted him killed, I assure you, they could have done it. They didn't want to. This is all in Donald's head. Or maybe it's all in that little corner of an ear that's disappeared. There's something wrong with this guy. He's got a mental illness. But that's okay. Because in the meantime, Joe Biden's out. Kamala Harris is in. And this presidential election is going to look so dramatically different. A week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now, Kamala will pick a vice presidential candidate with her. And on this one, I think I can guess where this will go. I'm going to say Josh Shapiro from Pennsylvania, the governor of Pennsylvania, I believe, will be the vice presidential pick for Kamala Harris. Simple reason, the Democrats need Pennsylvania. Now, they also need Wisconsin and Michigan. Well, Michigan would be the place because they've got a great governor of Michigan that could be a vice president with Kamala Harris. The problem is that even I don't believe that the Democratic Party is progressive enough to put two women on the ticket. They'd be afraid, and I don't think it would happen, but I think it would be a phenomenal move. It really would, because then they would get the women's vote even more. They'd get white women, they'd get black women, they'd get everybody. And then, again, they would get young people and they would get black people. Blacks, women, and young people, end of election. Believe me, that's more than 52, 55, 60%. It could be 63 or 64%, leaving Donald with about 36, which is about where he is. I'd say a 20-point win would be just about where this could end up once Kamala gets in and begins to run a campaign against Trump and J.D. Vance, which You're talking about two people. I mean, Trump is a criminal, and J.D. Vance, for even getting involved in this, is a fool. Do you know how many people, and there are so many, dozens and dozens of people who have signed on to the Donald Trump world, 2016, 17, 18, 19, 20. There were even people who were jumping on in the last week of Donald Trump's presidency when he had already lost and it was all over. And they jumped in so that they could get involved with that idiotic elector plan. What did Navarro call it? Navarro, who just got out of jail. The Green Bay sweep. I mean, he thought that was funny. And he went to jail for 4 months because of how funny it was. These people think everything's funny. And every one of them has gone to jail except for Donald. All of Donald's people have gone to jail. Manafort went to jail. Papadopoulos went to jail. Navarro went to jail. Bannon went to jail. I mean, you go down the list. There are numerous people even that we don't even think about, that we don't even remember their names anymore, that hooked up with Donald and ended up in jail. Now, you know they went. I mean, you could say, oh, no, they were really in the Bahamas. No, they were in jail. So Navarro just got out of jail, so he's up at that convention trying to see if he can get himself in jail another time. And believe me, you know, Donald will get him put in jail. You know, I can play this clip another day because I didn't even think about it, but I know where to find it. And this is a great clip. This is a perfect example of what Donald is doing. And you may remember the Seinfeld where George, I guess it's like in an old people's home or something, and the place catches fire, and George is like knocking people down and pushing them over in order to get out the door himself instead of trying to save anybody. That's Donald. So I'll get that clip and we'll play it and watch it and think about what it's like to be like him, to have that kind of criminal mind, which he clearly has. And again, like I said, after another day or two, this will be the closest that Donald will have ever gotten to the presidency again for the rest of his life. In the meantime, he's sitting around talking about how black people, I love it. Black people, that's what he's thinking about. They are going to vote for him. He wants to put them in camps. He wants to deport them. You know, remember, he said, and we did play this one. He said, the blood of America is being poisoned by immigrants coming from Africa. And I guess, you know, some people know who's in Africa. Exactly. And that's another thing. Then you get some black person that says, oh, he didn't mean me. He meant all the rest of those black people, but not me. No, he meant them all. Just like the Central Park Five. The Central Park Five, a bunch of young people who never did anything to hurt anybody, but who were convicted of murder and then were truly exonerated by the evidence. And Donald runs out and puts out a full-page ad in the newspaper demanding that they be kept in jail anyway. despite the fact that they had been found to be not guilty. But that's Donald. That's Donald's great relationship with the black community. Remember about 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, Donald went to a church where he was going to speak to black people and tell them to come and vote for him because, first of all, they're all criminals like he is. Yeah, how about that one? Here's a guy who turns to an entire race of people and says, look, I'm a criminal, and so are you. So come on, we're together. So that didn't work very well. That wasn't accepted in a very positive light. And then the next thing he did is he said, look, do you realize that these migrants are coming from Central and South America, and I'm going to stop them and I'm going to deport them so we can protect the black jobs that these people are taking? The black jobs. Incredible. Okay, enough of that for the moment, but I'm not through. I'm so excited. I'm really very excited. I'm very happy. I feel sorry for Joe Biden. I think he was a very successful president and a very good man, and I think we need as a country to now honor him as he walks away from this election and Kamala Harris replaces him on the top of the ticket. That's what we need to do. We need to honor Joe Biden now, and we need to honor him in a very significant way. And then when Kamala's in the White House, she needs to honor him again. Medal of Freedom, all the other kinds of things that we do for great people who have served the United States of America. Absolutely. Okay. By the way, don't forget my good friend Lincoln Huff. I listen to his ads every day. It makes me laugh when he starts talking about build the wall. This man is running for lieutenant governor of Missouri, which means his job in Missouri is to do nothing. Nothing. Zero. There's no job. I mean, they'll pay you a salary. Build the wall. I mean, this guy Huff, I mean, he'd be better off just go out and get some bricks and start laying them down there himself. He'd have more chance of building the wall that way. Lieutenant Governor of Missouri does not build a wall or do anything, really. There's no job. Okay. But I'll tell you where they do have a job, and they always will, because they are such a great business, and that is, you know who it is, Joe? Yeah. It's Wendy's. Wendy's is at 18,000. Chesterfield Airport Road. It's in the valley, and the food is great. They have wings. They have smoked meat. They have patty melts, hamburgers, cheeseburgers, salads. Yeah, lots of great drinks. I mean, it's just a great place to go and eat. And of course, besides the pizza, which is also great, don't forget the baby back ribs and the onion rings. They're terrific. That's what I'll eat. Anytime I meet you there, you will find me eating baby back ribs and onion rings. Now, the only thing about it is, if you're doing it, you might think to yourself, I want to eat more, but I don't want people to think that I'm some kind of a crazy person. I eat so much. So all you got to do is pay your bill walk out looking happy, get in your car, and then drive to Defiance. But don't let anybody know you're going. Then you go to Defiance, which is $29.99 South Highway 94, and you go and do the whole thing all over again. All the ribs, all the onion rings. You can even throw in wings and everything else. And same great food, but they won't know that you're already pigged out at the first Wendy's. That's the way to do it. Wendy's in Chesterfield and Defiance, all great food, same great food, same great owners. Go check it out and enjoy your dinner. Wendy's. Okay, if you're looking for a jewelry store, of course it's Jewels on Hampton, and that's 4506 Hampton in St. Louis. They have got cases and cases and cases that are filled with jewelry because they've just got all these things that they want to sell that are at great prices. You know, they design jewelry, they buy jewelry, they'll buy and sell jewels and coins. I mean, they're in business to get it done. Whatever you want, if you're on the buy side or the sell side, doesn't matter. Come into Jewels on Hampton and you will enjoy the experience. You'll love Al and AJ. They're great people. They really are. So go check them out at 4506 Hampton. And if you've got a watch at home, two watches, three, four, six, 10, whatever it is, and they don't work, just bring them all in because they will fix them at Jewels on Hampton. I don't know. If you bring in 10, you'll have to ask if there's a discount. I don't know. They never told me there is. But you never can tell. I mean, if you bring in 10, maybe. But anyway, great jewelry, great people, Jewels on Hampton. Now, the St. Louis Suit Company is in Clayton. It's on the corner of Forsyth and Central. And the men's clothes are outstanding. It's true that they've got those ties for $5. They do. And you might think, what kind of a tie can I get for $5? And the answer is, you get a great tie. Silk, beautiful designs. I mean, these ties look like $50 ties, but they're $5. And if you buy five of them, then they're only four apiece. That's $20 for five ties at the St. Louis Suit Company. And if you're thinking about when the weather's going to turn, and it will, I know everybody's talking about the heat. That's the one thing about Missouri. I've been here for over 40 years, and every time summer comes, people start complaining about the heat, and I sit around and think, that is crazy. Sun's out. It's beautiful. I mean, if you live in a place without air conditioning, then I understand it. But I mean, if you're complaining about the heat in the summertime, you got a problem. Maybe that's why you're voting for Donald Trump, because you haven't figured it out yet. In the summer, it gets hot, but it's going to get real, real cool when we get to the winter, the fall. And what are you going to want? You're going to want to be at the St. Louis Suit Company where you can get a great overcoat. Or you could go there right now at the worst time of the summer from the standpoint of heat and that overcoat. Yeah, it's not good for it. You're not going to wear that overcoat. But you buy it at a great price. You bring it home, put it in the closet, and then come fall, you've got it. You've got it made. I mean, that's just smart economics. St. Louis Suit Company is also great if you're thinking about getting married or if you're going to a wedding and you need wedding attire. Everybody goes to the St. Louis Suit Company and knows that they are famous for wedding attire. Suits, shoes, ties, shirts, all of it. At the St. Louis Suit Company, Jay and Nick will take great care of you. Go visit them in Clayton. Okay. Did you know that the median age in the United States is 38 years old? Because I'll tell you something, I didn't know that. I'm not shocked by it, but in one sense, it is low. I mean, it does tell you one thing. I mean, if you're 45 years old, you're on the high side of that median number. If you're 39 years old, you're on the high side. So, you know, you start getting up there, 50, 60, 70, 80. Listen, this country's younger than you think. All these people are going to be voting for Kamala Harris. You watch. But that's not why I bring it up. I bring it up because there is an issue with student loans, and you got a bunch of people out here, young people, who have these loans, and they have been looking at all kinds of promises having to do with either paying the loans off or just forgiving them altogether or possibly lowering the payments. You know, right now, the payments are you know, if you're income driven on this, if you get a special deal because your income is low, I mean, they'll let you pay 10% of your income. I think that's after you take certain deductions. But Joe Biden changed it in this new program that he set up called the SAVE program. And he had lowered it to 5%. It was supposed to go into effect almost any minute here now. Except that once again, the courts have stepped in and blocked the program. Well, that's because the Congress is run by Republicans, and there's no way they're going to agree to do anything about these loans. They don't care. They really don't. They don't care what happens to you. If you're 38 years old or you're on the low side of that median number, and you've got those loans out there and you've got to be paying them and you haven't been paying them for 3 years because of all the COVID delays. Do you think Donald Trump cares about you? Really? Do you think he cares what happens to you and your loans? And the answer is, of course not. That man owes $100 million to E. Jean Carroll because he raped her. He owes $500 million to the state of New York because he defrauded them. And he isn't thinking about you. He's thinking about him. I'll tell you, he's worried about deporting people. He had to get himself into a fast car and go straight for the border and get south as fast as he can, because there are people coming after him, and they are all part of the Department of Justice. I'm telling you. They're all thinking about jail. I understand. Somebody thinks that Donald has dodged the bullet because he got these people that he threw on the Supreme Court inappropriately to go along with some ridiculous idea that a president of the United States is immune from everything. No prosecutions against a former president because, I don't know, if you're a former president, you're just so good that we shouldn't do anything to you. Break the law, do what you want. But listen, he isn't worried about you if you've got a student loan out there, I assure you. However, there is another problem. And the problem is something that I've been talking about for several weeks, and that is the problem economically, and especially having to do with the stock market, because Meta, which is Facebook, and NVIDIA, and Apple, Netflix, you know, all these companies, there are about seven of them. They call them the Magnificent Seven. Well, here's the problem. The Magnificent Seven have come apart at the seams in the last 3 or 4 days, very rapidly. And suddenly there's talk, justifiably, that there could be a crash. As of yesterday, in 5 days, those stocks had given up $1 trillion. And guess what? They got slammed again today. Now, as I always say, they could bounce for a day or two, and then they could be right back down again. This is serious. Now, it'll be over in a flash, and you'll have a lot of people losing a lot of money because they're out doing something that's just dumb, which is chasing companies that are the only ones that are being bought by anybody with all these institutional dollars out there. It was just not smart. Anybody that's been in the market for 10 minutes knows this is bad business, and now they're paying a price. This is probably going to be over in a flash, but the consequences financially to people who have found all their money parked in these stocks could be enormous. But we'll see. That, you know, every crash has its own way of developing its own personality, and some are worse, some are better. I've talked about the fact that for 500 days, the yield curve has been inverted, which is a sure sign of recession. So, you know, there are some problems out here. And now suddenly with this collapse of the technology stocks, you got some people recognizing it. But it's all happening in July. And, you know, it'll probably be over by August. In September and October, you'll see prices rebounding again. I don't know how far they'll rebound, but they'll rebound. And there will be an election in November. But in the meantime, there are some people who are going to pay a price for chasing things in the marketplace that they should have known better about. In the meantime, 38 years old and younger, you got people who are out here with these loans. And by the time the markets get hit to the full extent, it is possible that circumstances will be such that you'll be looking at the necessity to dump those loans and to get rid of a lot of other problems and to try to get this thing set back right so that the economy can rebound along with the stock market. Because I can assure you this, the one thing you don't want to do is what Donald Trump wants to do. And I've talked about this for about 3 weeks now. And that is this idiotic idea that you're going to throw tariffs on everything. It is insanity. Everybody knows that the Great Depression was made many times worse by what we called the Smoot-Hawley tariffs, which were passed in the 1930s and absolutely depressed the entire world. The entire world economy sunk and kept sinking because of that crazy idea that we should just throw tariffs on everything. Whole idea is it's protectionist, but somebody didn't understand who was getting protected. And it wasn't the United States economy, and it wasn't the world economy. We paid a price. And here we are with the same dumb idea at the worst time economically that it could possibly be promoted. Leave it to Donald. And then, of course, leave it to J.D. Vance, who has jumped in with both feet on the same idea. He was doing this before he even hooked up with Donald, but Donald thought, this is a great person to add to my campaign because he's already supporting tariffs. Where do we get people like this? Well, I can tell you that I don't know where we get them, but I know where the explanation is of what they want to do. You simply get online, go to Google, and put in Project 2025 complete. And you'll get a PDF file, like 920 some pages, and start reading. But I'll tell you this, you can shortcut it a little bit. First, you can go to page 562, and you'll fall over when you read what this guy wants to do about women's health care. And then the next thing that you can do is go to page 731 to 739 and read what these geniuses have come up with regarding the Federal Reserve. Because what they want to do with the Federal Reserve is nothing short of lunacy. Plus, I'd like to reinstate the gold standard. Let me tell you something about the gold standard. I'm not going to go into some complicated explanation, but this maybe will help you to understand. When you require that people back all the currency with gold, it definitely reduces the potential for inflation. Definitely. But what's worse is it raises the potential for deflation. Because eventually you get yourself into an economic decline, and what you want to do is expand the money supply in order to give people a chance to grow again, but you can't do it because if you require gold to back your currency and you don't have any gold that's available, then you've got limits. And those limits will put you into a depression like you haven't seen for 90 years. It's stupidity. Every first-year economics student knows that the gold standard is nothing but a way to kill economic growth. I'm not going to go into the story of the early 1900s, late 1890s, and the fight over gold and silver, but, you know, we were on the gold standard, and there was a desire by the farmers to go to silver. Because there was much more silver, it would have been inflationary and would have helped to bring the farms up off the mat because the farms had been destroyed economically. It's all part of American history, and it's probably a good thing to understand, but most people just walk around and say, I don't know, it's economics. I can't figure that out. And then you've got 35 to 45% of the people who are willing to follow Donald Trump off the edge of a cliff by restoring the gold standard, by raising tariffs, and by eliminating the Federal Reserve. Wow. You couldn't find a better recipe for financial disaster under any circumstances. I mean, that is just genius. If you're trying to wreck the United States of America, that is the way to do it. Now, who would like that? What a surprise. Vladimir Putin and the Russians. They would love it. Lavrov, who I talk about all the time, he was in the White House high-fiving with Donald Trump when the United States was turning over documents to the Russians that were secret United States intelligence documents. Just handing them over to the Russians, taking pictures, high-fiving, everybody happy. Lavrov said just in the last couple of days that Trump and J.D. Vance are really good for the United States because all they want is peace. That's all they want. They are two really good people, according to the Russians, who just want peace, nothing else. Although I would suggest that maybe what they want is the peace of some gold bars that maybe the Russians have promised Donald if he just turns the United States wholesale over to the Russians. I mean, how long did we talk about the Russians are coming? They made a movie. They told jokes. They threatened that the communists were coming. And of course, no one came. Nothing happened. And then it was the end of the Soviet Union. So here we are in 2024, and Donald is promising to turn the United States of America over to Vladimir Putin so that Donald can just walk off into the sunset and Vladimir Putin can say, the Soviet Union has won. This is a brilliant plan. The only problem is you're going to have to get the United States of America's people to vote for it. And it's just not going to happen. Because the stupidity of all of this is beyond belief. Why the United States would vote against the protection for Ukraine, which we promised 30 years ago when we dismantled the nuclear weapons that the Russians had left in Ukraine after the demise of the Soviet Union, it just doesn't make sense. We promised these people, we promised them for their own good, we promised them for the good of Europe, we promised them for the good of us, for the United States. Have you ever heard of Charles Lindbergh? Have you ever heard of America First? I don't mean the America First that you're going to hear tonight at the Republican convention. I'm talking about 1940. I'm talking about January 1941. February, March, June, July, September. When did it end? Oh, I'll tell you when. December 7th, 1941. That's when it ended. Because there's only one way for this to end. You turn the world over to a bully, and I guarantee you, you won't like what you get. When J.D. Vance said, which you can find on YouTube anytime you want this afternoon, when he said that Donald Trump is an American Hitler, he wasn't kidding. You turn this country back to him, and you read Project 2025, it is nothing short of a recipe for destroying this country and turning it over to the Russians. Not just wrecking this place, but just handing the keys to Vladimir Putin. Just turn them over and let the Russians just walk straight in, laughing all the way to the Federal Reserve Bank, I guess. No, the whole thing is silly. You can't do this. We have built a country since the end of World War II that is revered by the entire world. All of those people, those 32 countries from NATO, they came over here honoring the United States for protecting Europe and for protecting ourselves, for that matter. You know, if you protect Europe, you protect the United States. And to turn it all back over to Donald Trump so that he can turn it over to Vladimir Putin and so they can go back to the Oval Office and high five on Russian television, it doesn't make sense. But it does make sense for me to get out of here and to think about, on the way out the door, Wendy's, Jules on Hampton, the St. Louis Suit Company, And remember, this is Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen. Good night.